Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. My guest this week is Dr. Keith McNally, and I'm quite excited to talk to him, and I'm being completely distracted by his Lego structures behind him. So I have a nephew who's very much into Lego, an adult nephew who's very much into Lego. And so I find this really fascinating because it's another whole world that I haven't really gotten into yet. So sorry about that, but it is what it is. I want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Keith, and then we're going to get into the conversation. How did we meet? We met because somebody asked if I was interested in having him on my podcast, but I think we had been on a networking event together as well, that a bunch of people I met there were very cool people, and they're podcast people, as you are. And Dr. Keith has three podcasts that he has developed over the past few years, and we'll get into that a little bit. But he's U.S. Marine vet. And I'm not sure, and I will ask you this in a minute, if the reason for your attempted suicides, one or both of them, was PTSD type of situation. But you were in a low place at one point or twice in your life, and things have, and you had a heart attack that you survived as well. And so I'm going to get you to tell me this. You turned your life around in so many ways and made other people well as well because of the work that you do. So I know that during the horrible pandemic, you needed people to talk to. I think we all need people to talk to. And it's just a question of, how, who, what. And you actually reached out on LinkedIn to people. So I'm going to get you to tell that story. So welcome to the show. First of all, am I going to call you Dr. Keith or just Keith?
You're going to call me Keith because this is going to be a casual conversation.
Sounds good. And there was something else I was going to say. Can't remember. So start there. Start with telling me about, where you were, what happened, and how you how you brought yourself to where you are now. It's amazing.
Okay. That sounds like a good point, a good place to start. Yeah. So I blame my life on COVID. And a lot of people will say that in a very negative way, but I'm going to flip the coin and say it in a very positive way. And so we all recognize the situation COVID brought upon, basically the world. And so all of us were dealing with it in very unique, but very specific ways. And many of us lost loved ones, friends, homes, money, jobs, whatever it is, whatever you can put a name to it, you probably lost it. The other side of the coin was that, and this is what I was finding when I was having these conversations, and we'll get to how I got there, was when people were waking up in the morning, and they may not have lost a whole lot, but in a sense, they had lost their identity, meaning that when they looked at themselves in the mirror, they weren't either happy or proud of what they were seeing. And so everything that they had accumulated career-wise, basically, in life, whether it be the houses, the cars, the monies, no longer held the real value that it thought it should have. And either side of the coin, people were making intentional pivots and changes to do something about their life, whether to survive it and thrive through it, the chaos of COVID, or to align themselves with a better version of themselves that they really wanted to be proud of and find value in. And my story regarding the COVID situation was, through a set of variables, I had lost my job, and it happened to be at the tail end of COVID through the quarantine. And unfortunately, I was unemployed for 12 months. And being now 54, going on 55, so my younger 50s, that took an incredible hit on who I was as a person, as a dad, my career. I'm losing, basically, I'm trying to hold on to white knuckled, fists with everything that I was losing, and it wasn't working. And so, yeah. I had
Yeah.
thought and made the attempt to take my own life. And so, and that was the second time in the 12 years. So 2013 and 2021 were specifically, it wasn't necessarily around post-traumatic stress. Now, I am a US Marine and I have a combat background. I was directly in infantry and specifically in mortars as a Marine. But that I'm not going to credit any of that past to why I took the attempt to take my own life. It made the attempt. It was really life circumstances that I was never fully prepared for. And because of that, I thought the only way out, the best way out, was to literally be out. And so that's really kind of the nature of my story.
Had you been, were you primarily an introverted loner kind of person?
I actually call myself a misfit. And so, growing up, grade school, middle school, high school, college, never really fit in. Definitely an introvert. My parents divorced when I was 10, and so all the chaos that was involved with, my home life really kind of stuck with me. And so I didn't develop friendships well, or if I did, I didn't develop many of them. So a lot of what I lacked was resources, family resources, friends, the ability to connect, the ability to socialize, basically, in a very, what would seem a very natural way that most kids, college students, adults do. I never really developed those skills until basically a couple of years ago, and
So,
I've been
right.
starting to
So,
do it altogether.
you say that you needed people to talk to network with, and you needed to find a job. I imagine so that's why it started on LinkedIn and starting to reach out to some connections that you had there. And I find that in a way safer to talk to a stranger. It's not as hard to talk to someone you don't really know, I find, even though I'll talk to anybody and everybody. I'm more the extrovert in that respect. And I can usually get pretty deep with them quite quickly. But for some people, I think that's much harder. And so I think to reach out to, people that were a name and on a connection list on LinkedIn, you may not have known them all very well. In fact, probably didn't. So how did that evolve and turn your life around? How did that help with that?
It was either a spiritual or a subconscious need. And so I recognized that everything about my life needed to change. And so how I interacted with myself, how I thought about myself, how I interacted with people, and what I thought about people. So throughout the job search, but it was really more about making the connection, talking with people. And like you said, I didn't have but maybe 2,000 and some change people on my LinkedIn connection list. And I may have only really known a handful of them,
Right.
not just on a professional basis, but maybe something on a personal basis as well. But what I did was just simply tap on their virtual door and say, "Would you like to have a conversation?" And that was really the foundation of it. Now, was that a risk for me? Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Because of my introverted nature, definitely a risk. And but what I was finding was the very thing I talked about earlier. People were making changes, and by the nature of humanity, they wanted to tell somebody else about it. And I just happened to be that one person. If I'm inviting to a call just like this, let's jump on a Zoom call. They were, people were saying yes, but it was only the people who were making the investment in their own life and making changes in their life that wanted to have those conversations. It wasn't everybody, you know. I got more, you know, people just ignored me or just said no, blatantly said, you know, that no thank you, whatever. So the conversations happened slowly, but as I continued, it was just something that I needed to do. So I continued the process. Would you like to have a conversation? Now, they didn't start getting recorded until I saw the idea that, you know, these people are sharing. We cried on the Zoom calls, you know, people had gone through some stuff and they wanted to share their story. Now, I wasn't necessarily being fully open disclosure with my own stuff, but at the time it really didn't, I didn't need to be, because they were really sharing their stories. And so I simply asked the next person, would it be okay to record this? And somebody said yes. And so with that first yes, I started recording conversations. I began with some of the folks that I did know personally and professionally, and then grew it from there. So initially, what was a podcast or basically a YouTube playlist called Level Up, within 15 to 20 episodes, and I do 40 episode seasons, I changed it to The Question Guy. I'm a college professor by trade. I ask a lot of questions, and The Question Guy stuck. And so The Question Guy podcast became, you know, that series of playlists that started, you know, easily 2021, 2022.
Interesting. So what were you teaching, by the way? Do you teach now still?
I do. I still teach, not at a college. My background is in IT and my doctorate is in educational leadership. So by all intents and purposes, I should have gone into an administration, but I'm very comfortable in the classroom. And so sharing knowledge. I'm very comfortable. So now I work for an international business solutions company, and I'm one of their technical trainers.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And that's so different to this journey that you're towards leadership, right? And
very, very different.
Yeah.
To some degree. Yeah.
So one of the things that, that I noticed on your bio was that you, the topics that you like to talk about, and this is the one that jumped, well, they all did, but this one jumped out at me: discuss strategies for actively building, creating, and nurturing meaningful connections, because that's what I'm all about too. I'm all about relationship building and business built on relationships. Relationships form that, you know, you form a trust with people. People can trust if you refer somebody to them, it's going to be the right person, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things. So what would you say are the best strategies for doing that?
Well, everybody's going to have their unique take to that. And so what I did is I learned about people. I made it my purpose to learn about people. And so earlier when you kind of, you know, read off pieces of my bio, I do have three different conversations that's actually grown to five and will grow to six by the end of this year. And because my hashtag is conversations that matter is my hashtag. It's one of them that I use, and conversations for change, because everything begins and ends with the right conversation. And that's kind of been my gut since all of this began. And I mean that to say the first set of conversations were all about people's personal story. And that's what The Question Guy is all about.
Right.
Because of their transformation, people actually created business models from their own personal stuff, became coaches, speakers, or book authors, and are now helping people going through the stuff that they originally went through, are helping other people go through that same stuckness, whatever that is. And so I created Coach's Corner specifically to talk about business expertise. On a grander, global, more broader scale, I created the Envision Speaker Series, and I brought back panel people who have already been on my show. I wanted to start talking about what it takes to make social change happen. You know, whatever that toxic work, you know, workplace toxicity, mental health illness, you know, mental illness, mental health issues in men. Why do men have more suicide ideations now than ever before, at any age level? how to heal, how to be holistic in your who you are, not just about being this person professionally and this person personally. Step up and show up as who you are all the time. That's the start of the answer to your question. How do we build that know, like, trust relationship? It starts with two things. And this is what I learned overcoming, you know, my own suicide ideation. You learn how to breathe. One thing is to learn how to breathe. Breathing calms the body and focuses the mind. And I don't mean just regular breathing. I mean, focus breathing. You know, close your eyes, sit down, and take in that breath and allow the oxygen to do what it's designed to do. And that's give you energy. It's one of the things it's designed to do. And then once you learn how to do that, figure out who you are. I actually wrote a book on Walking the Path of Leader's Journey is all about personal development through a series of stages. But the essence of the book is, if you throw away the titles, and I had to because I was unemployed for 12 months. So everything I did as a doctor, everything I did as a college professor, everything I did prior to the chaos, I had to let go because it was all those things I was holding on to that I couldn't hold on to anymore. They were slipping away. And so what I decided to do was let them go. And when I decided to let everything go, my whole life changed. Found a job. People were beginning to help me do what I needed to do to overcome, you know, suicide ideation, the chaos of COVID, building relationships. So I started having more and more of those conversations, just like this one. And I began to appreciate every conversation, every person that I would meet, because they were adding, if anything, just a little bit of gold, maybe a little bit of value to my life. And I have to hope and think that as I was living vicariously through them and becoming comfortable with myself, that I was exchanging that same value at some level to them. That has to be true, because now I've had over 250 recorded conversations under 5 different platforms.
So this is what I'm picturing. I'm picturing that you lost your job, that you were, and COVID hit, and you were alone a lot, as we all were, you know, unless we, you know, have people that live in our house with us. We have a lot of, you know, alone time. And that brought you into negative state and you plummeted. But you also had the wherewithal to get yourself out of it. I mean, were you in therapy? Were you on?
No, I didn't. I didn't have the wherewithal to get myself out.
Oh, okay.
I actually, for whatever was keeping me alive, I was showing up, even broken. So I was showing up to networking meetings. I was showing up to job interviews. I was showing up to whatever I needed to do, even on LinkedIn, even in the conversations I was having. I was still broken. I actually met somebody. His name is Mitch Cray, and I always give him a shout out. So don't hate me for it in this conversation. He invested his life into
me.
Why
would I hate you for it?
One. No, what's that?
I said, why would I hate you for it? No, absolutely.
He invested his life into me so that I would still have one. And at first he was just a mentor. Now we're really good friends.
Yeah.
So it was one person making the investment free of charge, you know, it's because of who he is and what he does and how he does it, that said, you know, Keith, we're going to take this one step at a time. He's the one who taught me to breathe. He's the one who taught me to show up.
Hi, everyone. Here at Relationships Rule, we are all about the personal touch. Dive into the 10-card gratitude challenge with me. Transform your relationships through the power of simple gestures. Join me and let's spread joy and appreciation one card at a time. You will elevate your connections and your spirits because it's just as much fun to send cards as it is to receive them. Ready to make a lasting impact? Then visit sendoutcards.com/Janice Porter and let's be unforgettable together. I love it. No, I think that's great. But you did, I mean, give yourself some credit.
For
keeping going until that happened, right? Because, right? And actually, it's making me think of something else too. Like when you talk about the breathing, and I don't do that enough. I don't stop and just, you know, relax and do that. But I've noticed that I have a little granddaughter. She's 4 and a half. She's almost 5, and she's very hyperactive, and she's never stops moving. But if you if you know, she's getting too much and too much going on, you kind of have to stop her and look her in the eye and go, okay, let's just breathe and take a breath and just relax for a minute. And you can see what happens when she does that. She needs to do that. And the other thing that she needs to do, which I want to come to with you, is she needs to be out in nature. It seems to ground her, and she is at her best when she's digging in the soil and she's, you know, turning over a rock or getting dirty or putting her feet in the water. That's what she loves to do, which is like the furthest thing from me. I was the kid who didn't want to get dirty when I was a kid. So it's really interesting to see what she's teaching, you know, me, for example. But I think that you must feel that too, because you're going on this amazing journey that is also to raise money, I think, also for people in need. You can tell me exactly. It's about suicide prevention, I think, right?
So I'm on a mission, and so I've collaborated with a couple of different people to do a couple of different things. One of the things that I'm working with is an event in September 2024. So as the time of this recording, this year, in a couple of months, I'm working with Cheyenne Kramer and Rick Mabe down in North Carolina. In 2023, unfortunately, NC State University was in the spotlight, in the media spotlight, because they had incurred several deaths by suicide at the colleges. So the college level, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds are struggling for a variety of reasons. And so I know a lot of people have raised the attention, this as a focus. We just happen to have a really good team, and we're bringing some services, and we're going to do an event down there. But because I'm a veteran, my specific focus is with veterans and at-risk veterans. You talked about going back into nature. So one of the things I want to do is raise awareness, provide educational services, mentoring and training to veterans in the veteran community, including their families, on how to redesign your life. Now, I am not a crisis intervention specialist. I'm not there when you got the gun to your head or whatever that situation looks like. That's not my space. But if you're still alive and you still struggle with unknowns and variables that you think are problematic to you, I am somebody to talk to. There are many bigger organizations, Wounded Warrior and all kind of other veterans and mental illness, mental health organizations. And we all do our good job, our due diligence, and we all work well in our spaces. But I've been there. I've actually made the attempt 3 times. My first time as a college student myself, 25 years ago. But specifically as an adult, there's no scarier place to be than alone and thinking that your life is worthless. And so because of that, and because I've got some friends, some veterans who, you know, did their time in service, some of them retired, who also struggle with life variables. And I always call them variables because we never know when something comes up. I do want to give them an opportunity, one, to have a conversation, two, to become real with themselves. Like I said, even I wrote the book, it's all about personal transformation. Learn how to breathe, learn how to show up, learn how to be vulnerable. The event that you're talking about is I want to hike through, it's called an actual through hike in the community, the Appalachian Trail. So in 2025, on April 1st is our launch date. So me and Jody is a colleague of mine, a friend of mine. We're both veterans. We're going to do a through hike of the Appalachian Trail. And so that's a 2,193 miles, depending on who you talk to, from Springer Mountain, Georgia, all the way to Katahdin, Maine. And so it's going through 14 states on the east coast of, you know, the U.S. contiguous states. It's going to take about 4 months. And the way Jody keeps on putting it, Probably five. And so we do need to raise a lot of money just to put us through the hike,
Sure.
food and some other supplies as well. But specifically, we're going to be bringing people in, veterans, service members, those who have overcome their own situations, or those who are still struggling with their own situations. We're going to bring them on the trail. We are welcoming every possible section hiker. So if you want to join us, awesome. The more the merrier. Even if you only hike 1 mile with us, that's cool. No overnight camping. But at the very least, this is going to be transformational for many, many people. And probably specifically for me and for Jody, because this is something we've never attempted before. So we're novice through hikers. Haven't done it before. I mean, we have hiked and we have camped, and so we've got the general idea of how to do this. But hiking 20 plus miles a day across 14 states over 4 months is a different, he's calling it a military mission, and I'm right there with him because it's all about logistics and planning and all this other kind of stuff. And so that's why we are raising money, but we're also specifically raising awareness and providing education and coaching as well. And
So
more importantly, mentoring.
hopefully you'll get some PR out of it, and as you go through it, you'll log it on video and all of that good stuff, right?
We
Yeah.
will.
I
So
mean,
we did, as long as we get the
the sponsorships.
Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi
Oh yeah,
service, we'll live stream what we can. Everything else gets recorded. He's a technical guru, so I've asked him to kind of bring some of his toys with him. We might create some, virtual or augmented reality segments along the way, which would be really, really cool for people who are in that space. But all in all, we are really looking to really bring a new identity to the veteran community because, like you said, it was your niece.
My
She's
granddaughter.
out in your yeah, when she's out in nature. We're created. I do believe we were created, and the book says we're created from dirt, the particles of the earth. And so part of us is connected to that. And you can't take that away. I from my, belief structure, I can't take that away.
Wow, interesting. So, I think that's a it's a very robust plan and forgot the word challenge that you're taking on, and I think it'll be exciting for you, and I'm sure that the biggest thing will come from people's transformations. And so I'd like to ask you, in all of the discussions that you have with people, I know you're a teacher, you're a trainer, you're a creator, you're a speaker, in all of the people that you touch with the work that you do you have one or two stories that's really stand out as, just really special? I know I put you on the spot, but
No, it's okay. There is, I always say every conversation is important, and what I would like to see happen, is more men step up to the conversation, more men step up to the microphone. Only because I don't get that often enough. Now, I have a lot of conversations. How on this isn't a lot of them were with women. So women would step up, and because they're it's easier for them to share personal experience, tragedy and whatnot. And very few men, at least in on my podcast, are willing to do that. Now, a few have, and a few have cried. And so that I think is a very powerful thing, is when I see a man cry in front of me because of something that's happened in him in his life, and he's willing to become vulnerable and he's willing to disclose. And so if more men can actually, now not every man has to do that. I'm not saying that every man has to break down like a baby and cry. But for the expression of emotion in that way, that release of energy is so valuable and transformational that I would like to see more men do that. And so that did happen in one of my conversations. And it wasn't even the Question Guy podcast, it was Coach's Corner, because he had lost everything. It might have been a mix of both. He had lost everything and had to go back to mom and dad as a grown man and say, Dad, I failed. And that broke him, and it broke him on in the conversation. And so that was such a powerful moment, both in our conversation and I think in his own life, of course, that he changed himself. The other story would be, like I said, I have, my three, so personal, professional, and social impact stories. I do have two other specific conversations, one around suicide and the impact of suicide in our lives. I have about eight or nine on my playlist on YouTube. And I have a fifth conversation for those people who want to kind of drop the facade, drop the titles, and just have conversations with me about what's really important in their lives. And I've had about a handful of those, and I call them conversations. It's a conversations playlist on YouTube. And her name is Carrie Allen. She is very active on LinkedIn. She is the founder of the Human Array with a colleague, Sarah Cotterell. And they taught me how to meditate. They taught me how to meditate and how to use words to empower me before I have conversations. Because what I wanted to do was get better at this. I wanted to get better at having conversations with people. And that meant, from her perspective and probably from my perspective, is to be more present, not run from a script, not rehearse words or sentences or questions, but to be present in the moment. And she taught me how to do that. And I think since like October, September, October, November last year to now, so the time of this recording, I've gotten much better at that, being present in the moment and being to exchange energies with the person or people I'm having conversations with, and so that they recognize that they're being listened to and being validated. And that's probably the most powerful thing I've been able to learn to date.
That's really interesting because I don't work from a script. I can't. And that's with anything I do. Like even when I have to go do a speech, which I don't do very often because I'm uncomfortable having a script. I'm better off the cuff in a way. I mean, I have to do some prep, but I just have to feel it out when I'm speaking to the person. But what you're talking about for me, I think comes from curiosity. So that's I find interesting in what you're saying because I don't always, I sometimes ask my guests the curiosity question because I'm fascinated by that myself and I feel I have a really good sense and I have a sense of curiosity and a lot of people don't. And I wonder if people think it's innate or learned. And that sort of is curious to me when you say, learning about being in the moment and being aware of what someone's saying and feeding off that. I call that curiosity. So did you have to learn? You had to learn that.
I would say it's a balance. I intentionally knew I wanted to be better at having a conversation, a real conversation, to literally be in that space rather than, the notorious thinking about what I have to say as part of the interaction. And so with Carrie Allen, Sarah Cotterell, Eileen Build, Mitch Gray, these people taught me how to focus, one, my energies, two, my thoughts, three, my subconscious, breathe and be in the moment. Now, am I perfect at it? Not yet. I am getting better. And I think with every conversation, I do get better. But it was something I had to learn. It wasn't necessarily something that was just jumping out at me and say, this is just who you are and it all works. Remember, I'm an introvert by nature. So for 50 years, I didn't have too many conversations.
It's fascinating because I know people that say that same thing, and they're not curious at all. And so, yes, it can be learned, And it can also be innate. So I don't know. I always, in my mind, I think we all start as curious kids, little kids, and, you know, but somewhere something gets drummed out of us in lots of
school.
Yeah, school maybe. You know, I taught school, so I hate to say that, but I think it's true, you know. In fact, you know, my granddaughter's starting kindergarten in September, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with her because she can't sit still for very long. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll be monitoring it and looking at how it affects her. But so curiosity and the skills and the strategies, like you said, for how to better yourself in the situations you put yourself in. So mm-hmm. I love that you are really always working on yourself. I love that. Yeah,
that's what I have to do now. I mean, if I'm going to be, you know, a better coach, a better speaker, a better podcast host, I need to do that because without that, it's just going to be a flat, boring conversation. There's going to be no energy. There's going to be no exchange of value, all the cliches. But really, I think as based on what you said earlier in the conversation, it's all about building that relationship, that know-like trust. And so because of that, you know, personal transformation process that I'm putting myself through continually, mm-hmm. The know-like trust paradigm, you know, that triad, is becoming more and more part of me. And I say that because it's part of the importance of what I do, because I've talked with so many people that if I know there's two people out there that need to talk themselves, I make that connection. I'm not asking for anything in return.
I do the same
and
thing.
And I've done that, you know, times and time again, and it's always been, to my knowledge, when they come back to me, it's always been the right connection. So it's like these two people needed to meet, and apparently I was the facilitator of that.
Yeah, that feels so good. I know I do that too. And when it works, you just know that it's like there's the magic, right? And you've just been that, I don't know, I find that so satisfying. You have to meet this person. I honestly, trust me on this one. And boom, it's just perfect. I love it. So this is fascinating. There was one more thing I wanted to ask you about. So I know that you let your storyteller, and you're a conversationalist. You're a speaker, which is also bringing you more of an extrovert piece when you're a speaker, right? But are you, and you're a writer, so which do you like to do the most?
I would like to do all of them.
Okay.
And make bank on it too. I can't do that because I still have my 9-to-5. To be quite honest, I enjoy all of them. So there's no doubt about any of it. The most nerve-wracking of the bunch is being on stage. That's why I want more opportunities to do that. Mm-hmm. I think I hate the cliche. I could add real value to that space, only because I want to share my story. And that may be egotistical at this point. I don't know. But the best thing I enjoy doing at this point is having these conversations, because I do think and I do believe that every conversation is important, and every conversation was meant to be listened to by at least one other person who's going to take something from it. For some reason, I believe that innately. And so even this conversation, and I know this is your podcast, if only one person watched it, it's needed to be watched by that one, hopefully more.
Yeah, that's okay.
More. But there's somebody out there who needs to hear what we, and it's not just with I, it's what we've had to say and the energies that we exchanged. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to not only hear it, but they need to experience it. And mm-hmm. So for every conversation I have, that's why I want to get better at them. I think, I believe, I trust that there's somebody out there eventually that needs to experience that conversation. What happens the next day or 5 years later, as long as it's evergreen, it can happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that your book, Walking the Path, A Leader's Journey, that path is personal development, right? I mean, yes, you're going on the Appalachian Trail, and that's the physical path that you're going on and growing from it. But this is about becoming a leader of self, right?
It is. Now, the characters, it's both
Oh, it's a
fabled.
Story. I haven't read it. I do apologize. But
no, all good. So it's a mixture of both, you know, contextual elements of leadership and what that looks like, but not from an academic perspective.
Right.
So I pull out, we talk about mentoring, we talk about team building, we talk about communication, becoming vulnerable, and all the self-development things that you really should have if you're going to lead people. Now, the specific circumstance falls within a story, a fable, a narrative within the book, where a young man, his name is John, so everything's kind of generic, needs to find himself. And so he's expected to take over his dad's farm in his community, surrounded by mountains. So, you know, very, very segregated and separated from the rest of the world. It's me, basically.
Of course. Yeah.
He feels like he's a misfit. He doesn't fit in. I mean, he can do the things, but developing close friendships with a lot of people, he does have his close-knit friends. He leads them. He decides to lead them, and they decide to follow him over the mountain.
Okay.
And he had to learn how to lead, and that's kind of the basis of the story.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Okay, I'm going to come full circle, and we're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to ask you about your Lego. So, no, seriously, you get kits, you make Lego creatures and characters and things.
So everything you see behind me outside of the happy birthday cards and the Father's Day cards are Lego built. And so they're basic sets, they're licensed sets. And so the big red thing that you see, I think on over here, is a Ninjago mech. And so he stands about this tall. Now, Lego likes to advertise themselves as toys. I would not ever play with him because he's very, very fragile.
And probably how many hours of putting it together, right?
So each of these sets, they're not necessarily the advanced builds, but they do take a couple of hours of dedicated time. Now, the one I'm most proud of is Stormbringer. And Stormbringer is a combination of Lego Boost, which is one of their, it's not their advanced brick, computer brick. It's just an application you could download it. There's a robotic piece to it in there. It's actually a she. It's Stormbringer. She. So it's a combination of the Boost product. This was like back in 2018, and the Stormbringer Dragon product. So they combined the two, and she could walk. She could roar. She could shoot lightning bolts out of her mouth. She's just a lot of fun to play with, but she's an awful lot of fun to build as well.
Wow. So I always think of when I was young, I went to bingo at the local fair, right, in the summertime. And some of my friend's grandma used to go or something. We'd go to bingo. And everybody that were real bingo people, they had their 12 boards in front of them, and they had all their different daubers, whatever you call them, and all their trinkets, their good luck charms and everything. It was like a whole underworld economy for bingo people. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every community has it.
And Lego would have its own people, right? So you have people that you build Lego with, or people that you compare kits with and things like that.
Well, I don't. Because of, you know,
you're an introvert.
let's put things into context. You know, when I talk about hiking 12 miles a day, that's 4 hours of my day. So I'm up at 2:30 in the morning and I'm in bed by 8. And so
got it. All right.
My time is now spent elsewhere. Unfortunately, I would love to invest.
That, right? You could see that being a thing, right?
I could totally.
Personally, I've been trying to build the Lego things with my granddaughter, and it's too hard for me. I can't deal with it. It's too intricate, and because she's gone from Duplo to Lego now. So now it's like, as long as it has wheels, she's happy. So there you go. Anyway, this was so much fun. Thank you. I just had to ask that because I find you know, it's just, we have to have fun too, right? We have to do things that.
Actually, that's part of the human nature. We have to play, and adults forget how to do it, but we have to add it back.
We do. We totally do. I know. And I've started playing these new games on LinkedIn. Have you looked at those?
No, I don't know anything about games on LinkedIn.
Oh, tell me. It's a whole new thing. It's under the, just go to linkedin.com/games and they'll show up. And once you've started to play with them, then they'll show up on your newsfeed or something and tell you. But okay. I'm a words game person. I love words. And so these are that kind of thing, like a mini sort of crossword ladder and things like that. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just exploring it from a LinkedIn trainer perspective to see if it becomes another tool for building relationships.
Perfect.
So, yeah. So anyway.
At least it'll open up a conversation.
Exactly. So thank you for this conversation. Thank you for sharing your story and your expertise and your wisdom with us. And to my audience, thank you for being here. If you've heard something you were pleased about or interested in, please look up Dr. Keith. I will put his information in the show notes, and I assume will give me your podcast as well, right?
Most of my stuff sits on YouTube. Okay. I am on Apple and iTunes with the Envision Speaker Series.
Perfect. And thanks for being here. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.